From WILL's Illinois Newsroom, this is 217 Today. I'm Carolina Garibay, in for Brian Moline. It's Wednesday, July 28th. The House Select Committee investigation into the January 6th attack on the U.S. Capitol began yesterday. Illinois Republican Representative Adam Kinzinger is one of the committee members and became emotional during his opening remarks. That story in just a bit. But first, these headlines. 2.5 weeks after the Center for Disease Control said it was okay for people vaccinated against COVID-19 to go maskless indoors, including schools, the agency reversed course Tuesday. As Hannah Meisler reports, the state's Department of Public Health has embraced the new recommendations, but it's unclear how the change will affect the coming school year.
Almost as soon as the CDC announced its initial guidelines earlier this month, the state's Department of Public Health fully adopted them. The state's Board of Education had been waiting on that guidance, and many school districts began announcing they were going mask optional for the school year that in some places begins in just a couple weeks. Governor J.B. Pritzker on Tuesday didn't have any immediate answers about what he'd do in the face of new guidelines.
There's no doubt that will weigh heavily on decisions that I'll make about what we should do for the state of Illinois. So just give me an opportunity to read it.
Illinois' economy has been fully reopened since mid-June, but private businesses have the option to require masks. However, many have dropped that requirement as the summer wears on, despite a recent rise in cases and hospitalizations. I'm Hannah Meisel.
Beginning January 1st, certain employer-sponsored health insurance plans in Illinois will be required to cover infertility treatments for same-sex couples and single people. Governor J.B. Pritzker on Tuesday signed the new law, which applies to group insurance plans offered by companies with 25 employers or more. State Representative Margaret Croak, a new mom herself, pushed for the law and says a gay couple in her district inspired the law.
We are expanding insurance coverage to so many Illinoisans and sending a strong message across the state that Illinois is a place where all families are welcome.
The law also expands infertility treatment coverage to women over 35 who are unable to become pregnant after 6 months. The state's insurance code currently only requires health plans provide infertility treatment coverage to women 35 and younger who can't get pregnant after a year of trying. The number of shooting incidents in Champaign County so far this year has surpassed the total number in 2020. These range from shots fired into the air to people killed by gunfire. And as student journalist Farrah Anderson reports, the majority of those shootings haven't been prosecuted.
Julia Reitz, the Champaign County State's Attorney, says that although there were over 200 reports of shots fired in the county this year between January 1st and June 1st, only 24 have resulted in charges filed. Reitz says it's often very difficult to identify a suspect, let alone to find a witness who will talk.
Or they might know who did it, but they're afraid, or they don't want to go against, a culture of opposition to snitching, to cooperating with law enforcement.
Reed says regardless, members of the Champaign-Urbana community, including teachers, faith-based leaders, and law enforcement, are working together to address the violence. I'm Farrah Anderson, Illinois Newsroom.
State officials report 260 doses of a COVID-19 vaccine were administered in Champaign County Monday, bringing the 7-day rolling average of vaccinations administered daily to a little under 290 doses. Just over 103,000 people in Champaign County are now fully vaccinated for COVID-19. That's more than 56% of the county's vaccine-eligible population and just over 49% of the county's entire population. Champaign-Urbana public health officials reported 42 new cases of COVID-19 in Champaign County Tuesday. The number of active cases has been rising since the county's lowest case numbers in late June, and there are now just under 280 active cases among county residents, more than 6 times that low point. The number of county residents hospitalized for the virus has risen to 10. Still to come, we'll hear a segment of Representative Adam Kinzinger's opening remarks at yesterday's House Select Committee investigation into the January 6th insurrection. That story in just a few minutes.
Healthcare has never been more important as the coronavirus pandemic continues to touch every aspect of our lives. I'm Christine Herman, health reporter for Illinois Newsroom, working to make sense of what's going on with rich storytelling and helpful analysis for listeners across the state. Hear what I uncover next on AM 580 and FM 90.9, or look for my stories online at illinoisnewsroom.org.
This is 217 Today. I'm Carolina Garibay, in for Brian Moline. Yesterday marked the beginning of the House Select Committee investigation into the January 6th attack on the U.S. Capitol. A bipartisan committee heard testimony from four police officers who were injured while responding to pro-Trump insurrectionists storming the Capitol. Among the members of the committee is Illinois Republican Representative Adam Kinzinger, who became emotional during his opening remarks. Here is a portion of those comments made yesterday morning.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you to my colleagues on the committee. Thank you to our witnesses. I never expected a day to be quite as emotional for me as it has been. I've talked to a number of you and gotten to know you. I think it's important to tell you right now, though. You guys may, like, individually feel a little broken. You guys all talk about the effects you have to deal with, and, you know, you talk about the impact of that day. But you guys won. You guys held. You know, democracies are not defined by our bad days. We're defined by how we come back from bad days, how we take accountability for that. And for all the overheated rhetoric surrounding this committee, our mission is very simple. It's to find the truth, and it's to ensure accountability. Like most Americans, I'm frustrated that 6 months after a deadly insurrection breached the United States Capitol for several hours on live television, we still don't know exactly what happened. Why? Because many in my party have treated this as just another partisan fight. It's toxic, and it's a disservice to the officers and their families, to the staff and the employees on the Capitol complex, to the American people who deserve the truth, and to those generations before us who went to war to defend self-governance, because self-governance is at stake. And it's why I agreed to serve on this committee. I want to know what happened that day, but more importantly, I want all Americans to be able to trust the work this committee does and get the facts out there free of conspiracy. This cannot continue to be a partisan fight. I'm a Republican, I'm a conservative. But in order to heal from the damage caused that day, we need to call out the facts. It's time to stop the outrage and the conspiracies that fuel the violence and division in this country. And most importantly, we need to reject those that promote it. As a country, it's time to learn from our past mistakes, rebuild stronger so this never happens again, and then we can move onward. And serving on this committee, I'm here to investigate January 6th, not in spite of my membership in the Republican Party, but because of it. Not to win a political fight, but to learn the facts and defend our democracy. Here's what we know. Congress was not prepared on January 6th. We weren't prepared because we never imagined that this could happen. An attack by our own people, fostered and encouraged by those granted power through the very system they sought to overturn. That is a lesson. That is not a conspiracy theory or a counter-narrative. We don't blame victims. We go after the criminals. Some have concocted a counter-narrative to discredit this process on the grounds that we didn't launch a similar investigation into the urban riots and looting last summer. Mr. Chairman, I was called on to serve during the summer riots as an Air National Guardsman. I condemn those riots and the destruction of property that resulted. But not once did I ever feel that the future of self-governance was threatened like I did on January 6th. There is a difference between breaking the law and rejecting the rule of law, between a crime, even grave crimes, and a coup.
That was a portion of the opening remarks made by Illinois Congressman Adam Kinzinger, a Republican member of the bipartisan committee investigating the January 6th attack on the U.S. Capitol. Commenting on her congressional Twitter account, fellow Illinois Republican Mary Miller dismissed Kinzinger's remarks yesterday as a partisan stunt that wasn't about finding the facts but going after Donald Trump. And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says mostly sunny skies with a high of 90 degrees. That's it for today. Reporting today contributed by Hannah Meisel, Farah Anderson, and Reginald Hardwick. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Carolina Garibay. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening, stay safe, and we'll talk to you again.